This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, what's going on? Take in Tierney coming from the Take in Tierney Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who understands it's not just a mortgage, but it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rockin' Mortgage, push button. Get mortgage. Pretty good Friday here on the show. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. Big football day as we need to resolve a couple of things, but doesn't mean we're not keeping an eye on Big Lefty Mickelson, a couple of birds out of the chute over at Pebble Beach. So it's one of those weekends, little XFL tomorrow, little golf throughout on CBS, obviously. I think we've crafted some fun conversations with the NFL,
right,
which we'll start with LeBron and the Lakers getting drilled by small ball, Bucks hammering Philly.
I called it.
You did?
Didn't I tell you? I mean, it's not sustainable.
Did you bet it?
I did not bet it, so it doesn't matter. But it was interesting, the Rockets going small and beating the L.A. Lakers. But look, at the Super Bowl, we have a lot of great guests. They're all fantastic. The best dressed was easily Cam Newton.
Yeah.
He walked up with the hat. With the tie.
He had a bow tie.
Not just a tie. A bow tie. His shoes were clean. I mean, we looked at his shoes. I was like, dude, how much are them shoes? Yeah. I think they were like Christian Louboutins or something, men's shoes.
He's got a lot of loot.
Yeah, he's got a ton of money because he had to sign one of those $100 million contracts. But he's at the end of his $100 million contract. But we ask him because, look, things are changing in Carolina, BT. Mm-hmm. Like, we see it. New head coach is out. Even a few years ago, you go back with Dave Gettleman, they pushed him out. And Marty Herney, who was there before and came back on an interim basis. Obviously, he's been there for a couple of years now. It's like they're changing all the methodologies that they've been going with the last couple of years.
Subscribing to.
And it happens when you get a new owner. He wants his own mark on the system. But we've asked a lot of people. We asked Chris McCaffrey. Yeah, Christian, you want Cam Newton back? Yeah, he's my guy. I see him coming back. And in fact, at the Super Bowl, you even asked Cam Newton if you thought he was coming back, and this is what he said.
Now we know that you want to play and that you're taking the steps to make sure that you're able to play.
Right.
Are you going to be back in Carolina? Like, are you sure you're going to be a Panther?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You talked to Matt Rhule yet?
Yes, sir. Huh? As a matter of fact, you know, it's devastating to not have the coach who drafted you, but at the same time, you got to turn the page. Had an unbelievable conversation with Marty Herney, GM, David Tepper, the owner, as well as, you know, Coach Rhule, the new head coach. And, you know, I left that meeting inspired. You know, not only, and I told them, I said, you won't find another person in that locker room with more to prove, not only to you, but I got to prove to myself.
And by the way, when you're on Radio Row, not a whole lot of time for radio foreplay. You got to go right for the question. We got to get answers, Cam. And Cam delivered a doozy of an answer. The problem, though, from Cam's point of view, it doesn't even remotely jive in terms of the emitting enthusiasm Marty Herney, who said, I mean, very short, very sweet. He was asked about this. I think it was the AP. And he said, quote, "He's rehabbing. That's all I can say." Yeah. Herney.
That doesn't sound like we had a great conversation and we're on the same page.
Apply that to any walk of life. You and I have radio deals, right? Mm-hmm. We've been in radio for a long time, TV. Some, you know, multi-year deals expire, contracts are up. Hey, listen, if we heard, in trying to, you know, he's not rehabbing, Teague and Tierney are still doing a show. That's all I can say. I'd probably get on the phone and say, "Left, time to bounce, brother. Yeah. Time to get out of here.
What is going on here? Sound very comfortable.
Why is this becoming stale?"
Let's also not forget that David Tepper, who took over a couple years ago when he bought the team from Mr. Richardson, also said this, quote, "Do you think I can promise to anyone that we're going to be great in 1 year?" Let's not forget, Cam Newton has 1 year left on his deal. 1 year. $21 million against the cap. They could save 19 of that if they move on from him.
Something right your now. Partner pointed out 2 years
That's
ago,
right.
by the way, $2 million in dead money. Keep going.
Tepper goes on to say, quote, do you believe in the tooth fairy? If you think something great gets built in 1 second, then that's wrong. You shouldn't expect it, and fans shouldn't expect. I'm not talking about 1 year. I'm talking about a standard that will be built and sustained. Now, does that sound like that aligns with Cam Newton's 1 year left on his deal?
Nope.
Some injuries over the last couple of years, a shoulder injury that kept him out of the preseason, a foot injury that kept him out for the entire season. Does that sound like
No.
Cam Newton? It doesn't sound like it to me at all. Look, I know that Cam Newton believes that he's going to be back with the Carolina Panthers, but everything else you just pull from all the other moves that they've made, from moving on from the coach, from moving on from Greg Olsen, from reshaping the philosophies of the organization, it just feels like Cam's not their guy.
Mm-hmm.
I know he had a great conversation. He said it. I had a great conversation with Marty Herney and the
David
new coach,
Tepper,
David
Matt
Tepper,
Rule.
Matt Rule,
everybody.
Everybody. It, to me, I don't think Cam Newton is a Panther in 2020.
Okay. I don't necessarily disagree because there's just, unfortunately for Cam, let me preface it with this. When Cam is balling, the NFL is a little more fun.
Oh, no doubt.
There's no doubt about it.
That Super Bowl season. That Super Bowl season.
Oh,
it was awesome.
Wouldn't mind scrubbing the final 4 minutes at the Super Bowl when he decided not to jump on the loose ball down the score. But we'll give a little pass on that.
Sorry. Now we will.
Now we will.
That's
true. We crushed them the next day, and rightfully so. I like Cam. I do. I think Cam is in great shape now. You know, mm-hmm. But Cam's also the kind of player who is always going to look as if he's in great shape. I don't know interiorly what's going on with the wing, with the foot, the two most important components to the game, to his game.
For him.
Can you throw it, and can you run? You know, I think that you're ultimately going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I don't think he'll be a Panther next season. I don't think it makes great sense because it would be you'd go on one path and then after a year with Coach Rule and a new system, you would abruptly shift gears and go in a different. You're not going to give him another contract extension after that. I don't think
that's right.
So here's the options: move on and rip the Band-Aid off now and start over. Make a trade. You brought in Brady from LSU. You want to get Burrow. You want to get Tua. You want to bring in a stopgap. Maybe the Raiders get rid of Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. They bring in Tom Brady. Well, Phillip Rivers. Yep. Million things can happen.
Or you go with Kyle Allen, who played
you,
okay.
No, you can't do that. That's not an option. You can't go with Kyle Allen.
He's there at least.
He can't be the starter.
I hear you. But
he can't even, in my opinion, with all due respect to Kyle Allen, he can't even enter camp with a chance to win the job. Mm. If that happens, they are not putting their best foot forward in terms of winning.
With all the other options available.
You can't do it. So he's the backup. He's got some experience. That's fine. But with Cam, you either rip off the Band-Aid, completely gone, or you go in for a year, right, and you hope it works out well. And it might, because they have a lot of talent, as you and I have dissected repeatedly here on Tiki and Tierney. But then you're just kicking it down the road. You know, it's like if you're in a bad relationship, and I'm not saying that it's toxic or it's actually been a very fruitful relationship for both the city of Carolina, the state of Carolina, and Cam himself.
I would say it's a good relationship, but this isn't about the relationship.
Bingo.
This is about the future of their team.
Correct. And if you're not going to marry Cam, you've been dating Cam a long time. If you're not prepared to put a ring on it, just show them respect and move on. And I think that they'll do that. Now, just because Marty Herney said what he said, the opposite approach, you don't want to be overly verbose with this. You don't want to start saying, well, we're going to bring him in, and if he looks good, and Cam's done so much for Carolina, he's a staple in the community, and we got to a Super Bowl with him, and everybody respects him, and everybody loves. No, unnecessary. It's a little callous, admittedly. It's a little short, a little terse.
But that's the business, man.
But what Marty Herney said was perfect.
I think it was perfect, but it also is telling because he's not committal to Cam Newton being their starting quarterback in 2020. And when you add everything else up, and that's all you can do. We're speculating here. We could be dead wrong, but I'm adding everything up and everything I'm hearing, everything that you're seeing, and it doesn't point to Cam Newton being their starting quarterback in 2020. And to be honest, BT, if I look at the squad, right, they're going to have to remake their defense a little bit. They're not fully stripping it down, but they're going to have to remake it a little bit. Their offense is starting to click on some cylinders, not all cylinders, but a lot of that's because they didn't have the right quarterback with Cam Newton down last year. So when they're in a weird spot in for the Carolina Panthers, because in some ways they could win now. right? They have some of the pieces, especially offensively. But in other ways, it's like they got a long way to go. And so do you want a quarterback who's been oft injured, who probably has his best years behind him? His MVP season was three seasons ago. And so he probably has his best years behind him. Mm-hmm. Could he reinvent himself and turn into a different type of quarterback in the National Football League? Sure, of course. But I'm not expecting that to happen. So if Cam is going to be Cam as we know him, I don't think he fits where they're going. And it's not a knock on Cam, because I think he does have tons of value somewhere else, which we'll get to later on in the show, BT. But for the Carolina Panthers, as much as Cam thinks and says he's going to be there and expects to be there, mm-hmm. I don't see him being their quarterback in 2020.
Yeah, and I want to be fair to Cam here as well. Not that you're being unfair, but I want to at least open up a different aspect of the dialogue here. There's something to be said for, putting in proper context the dearth of weapons that he had during his prime.
Yeah, for a long time.
I mean, let's face it, the most recent version of the Carolina Panthers, pretty fun to watch because you got McCaffrey.
That's right.
You got McCaffrey, and you got DJ Moore.
Yep.
He had Olsen, who was terrific, mm-hmm. and a borderline Hall of Famer. Probably a Hall of Famer. You had Olsen, and you had three C-minus wide receivers. That's really what you had.
Yeah.
That's what you had. So
that might be being generous too, BT.
Teddy Ginn for a minute.
Teddy Ginn went on and did some good things other places, but
for sure
not here.
I think Teddy Ginn. I feel like Teddy Ginn. Mike, can you double check? I'm just out of curiosity. I think Teddy Ginn caught a beautiful touchdown pass from Cam in a playoff game against the Niners that they obviously lost to the Niners, but it was a beautiful throw that hit him in stride in the back end of the left end zone. For some reason, I remember that. But yeah, aside from that moment, he didn't have a lot of – he had an overweight Kelvin Benjamin. Mm-hmm. That's what he had. And then he had a Kelvin Benjamin who was overweight and trying to come back from a ripped-up knee.
Yep.
And Kelvin Benjamin is probably done as a football player, at least a good one at this point, or an ascending one. So to say that his best days are behind him, I know what you mean, just based on the wing barking, mm-hmm. the foot barking, yep. But I wouldn't mind seeing him with some weapons. He was so dynamic.
Yeah.
And he was so special. I can't rule him out as being finished. I can't.
No, I'm not ruling him out being finished, because I think there's a place where he can go and thrive and perhaps get back to a Super Bowl, which we'll get to in a second here, BT.
You already have your team identified?
I do have my team identified.
But when
I look at the Carolina Panthers, like just everything in totality,
yeah,
it just feels like that Cam Newton era is over. And look, I give him credit for answering your question. You didn't beat around the bush.
Hey, Cam,
you going to be on the Panthers next?
What else do you want me to say? Cam, there's a lot of reports out there might have you not being on the Panthers. Cam, you going to play Carolina or what?
Honestly.
Yes. Have you spoken to Matt Rule?
The easiest thing for him to do, though, is to answer it how he answered
it. Yeah, he did, right? But did he misrepresent the conversation?
I don't know.
Based on what Marty said, it seems like it's two different conversations.
Look, Marty might have been like, left that conversation and been like, dude, that sucked, man. We got to move on for him. Cam was like, dude, that was awesome.
Yeah,
Just two interpretations of the same thing. Who knows?
Possible.
But he might have just answered us because it was easier. And it made the noise go away, even though in an interesting way, because it became news, right? It made the noise get louder.
That was huge news.
Yeah.
You know what surprised me? I want to get a break here and talk about, possible destinations for Cam moving forward. Get some calls as well. Whether or not you think Cam still has a little something in the tank, 855-212-4227. But what surprised me about, the news that we broke with Cam, and mm-hmm. then the barrage of retweets and stories and views and all that stuff was great.
Yep.
What surprised me was, his home base of Carolina, they were thrilled. Like, I thought it would be a little more, well, he's banged up. It's probably time to move on. New coach, new quarterback. Carolina Panther fans, for the most, because I read a lot. I mean,
they love him.
Thousands upon tens of thousands.
They love him.
They love him more than I thought. Like, I knew, let me rephrase that. I knew that they had great love for him. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that they were necessarily willing to continue that affection in 2020.
Yeah.
That surprised me. So I think there could be two answers, the home base answer and what the rest of the nation thinks. 855-212-4227. So if Cam's not back in Carolina next year, where is he? Tiki's got one answer, and I got two for you. That's next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
It's O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O Rewards points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools and accessories, and so much more. Not an O Rewards member yet? Well, head to O'ReillyAuto.com or visit in-store to sign up today and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. Also, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So stop in today and visit online and rack up double O Rewards points during Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up next segment. A little something on Todd Gurley. Also, LeBron and the Lakers coming up short. A little small ball to the Rockets. They got run out. Although, I got to tell you, that one dunk by LeBron in the open court was insane, man.
I keep seeing the images and the GIFs of it.
Yeah, because he keeps posting them.
Oh, that too. True. I don't. I actually don't follow him, but I see it everywhere, and I'm like, dude,
it was pretty sweet.
Is he 28?
He brought it. It was kind of like a windmill. It looked like a little Dominique, but it was incredible.
Reverse windmill, like down. Like I have. I mean, it's
brought it down to below his waist.
That's right. And then behind. I mean,
that was a young man dunk right there.
Really,
I mean,
was.
That was pretty sweet. Still. Lakers could have some issues. Didn't do a whole lot at the trade deadline. Teek and I'll get to that. The Bucks squash Philly. So obviously the NBA was pretty interesting last night. Oliver Luck will join us coming up in hour number two. The XFL begins tomorrow. The second installment here. We'll see if Mr. McMahon's got a better product here. It looks like he does.
Yeah.
By every account.
Focused on football, not gimmicks.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to all that a little later in the show. And Del Curry, Steph's and Seth's pop's going to join us in hour number three. So. All sorts of good things happening on the show. You want to get us on Twitter at Teak and Tierney. Go for it. All right, Teak. So you and I are not convinced that Cam will be in Carolina. Matter of fact, you flat out say he will not be.
Yeah.
And I pretty much agree.
Yeah.
I would just wait a little longer. No need to rush, but I don't think you're
going
to be wrong.
I would, too. I'm not going to declare Cam Newton is not going to be in Carolina.
Come on, it's radio. Take a stand.
All signs point to him not being there. Next year, which brings up the question, where would he be a good fit? And there's plenty of places, and we've had this conversation many times, that are in need of quarterback help or maybe a challenger to their existing quarterback situation. And the place that just jumps off the page for me is the Chicago Bears. Now, we all know how this played out over the last couple of years, and I've seen many comparables to Mitchell Trubisky over his first three seasons. Like Byron Leftwich was one, Eli was one, who had a really great second season. We went 11-5. We lost obviously in the wild card, if you know Giants football, that year to the Carolina Panthers.
That's when I first met Jerry Ferrara. I won a $20 bet off him.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice. But then we had a setback year in 2005. We went 8-8, or 2006, I should say, 8-8, which was my last
Eli's third season,
yep. And then obviously his fourth season, he blew up. Now this is Mitchell Trubisky's upcoming fourth season, and the question is he going to take that same step? I mean, I think it's unrealistic to believe that he's going to lead the Chicago Bears to a Super Bowl. Because we're just not seeing that growth. And more importantly, like, he lacks some of the, like, basic skills that quarterbacks need. Mainly accuracy, right? When guys open and you have these crossing routes and these easy completions that are designed in this offense that Matt Nagy has designed, you got to hit him. He doesn't necessarily hit him. So there's been a lot of conversation about what to do with Mitchell Trubisky. Now, the head coach, Matt Nagy, says Trubisky's our quarterback. The general manager, Ryan Pace, says Trubisky's our quarterback. The owner says Trubisky's our quarterback.
Now, they kind of have to because they moved up together.
True, exactly. But you can say that as long as the alternative seems unattainable. Cam Newton, however, as we have just been talking about, now feels attainable. right? It feels like the Carolina Panthers may be moving off. And assuming health, again, we have to assume health here of Cam Newton. Assuming health, is Cam Newton not a better option for the Chicago Bears, who are essentially ready to win right now, than Mitchell Trubisky? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, I mean, you're not going to be committed. You're not going to give Cam Newton like a 5-year deal to be your quarterback. You bring Cam Newton, who's likely to be either be traded or let go and picked up on, picked up as a free agent. It feels like the perfect match. They have a defense that's just stacked to the gills, as we've talked about for many years, with Khalil Mack and Trevathan and Hakeem Hicks, Kyle Fuller in the secondary, Clinton Dix. I mean, it's like across the board defensively, they're sound. Offensively, they have a couple of parts that they need to add, maybe an impact wide receiver. I know Allen Robinson, he's a good player, had 1,000 yards this season. But like that difference maker, if you bring that guy and you have David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen, if he still stays there, it feels like, man, this Chicago Bears team could be good if they just had the quarterback, right? I'm a proponent of not being a player away, but the Chicago Bears feel like they're at least a quarterback away from going where they need to go. So if you're asking me, where does it make perfect sense if Cam is not going to be a Carolina Panther, it's the Chicago Bears.
Okay, I can see it. I don't love it because I'm not even sure if Chicago has the right coach.
That's so, another question,
you know. But
here's the thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of like had this in my thought process. One of the reasons that they do need to go after a guy like Cam Newton is that if Matt Nagy wants to save his job, because if he has another season like he had last year, and the Bears underachieve like they did, his job is going to be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And so for self-preservation reasons, he's got to at least explore this, right?
From his point of view, yeah. But is he the one who's making the call, or is it Ryan Pace, the GM?
That's a good question.
Who moved up a slot and gave up a ridiculous amount of draft equity when nobody else was going to take Mitch Trubisky, number two or number three out of North Carolina?
Probably the greatest diary or whatever write-down quote that will live in infamy in Chicago Bears history. Sometimes you got to be bold. That's what he said about moving up to get Mitch Trubisky. Sometimes you got to be bold.
Yeah, bold's decent. You know, a nice cigar, not bad. Nice scotch. Bold is good.
I've read this a couple times. You know what would have been bold? Pat Mahomes.
That's true. That would have been really
nobody
bold.
Was talking about.
Okay. Now, let me give you my choice. Plural.
Go ahead.
All right. Now, again, if he's not back with the Panthers.
Yes. This is making the assumption that the Carolina's moving on.
Yeah. I have to assume that the reason Carolina's moving on, I could be wrong, but my assumption is based more on health reasons than monetary motivation. Because Tepper's got money hanging out of every pocket.
Yeah.
He's going to be aggressive. That's not to say that he wants to light it on fire and burn it. But for a guy who got you to the Super Bowl, who really has legitimate equity.
But he wasn't there.
I understand
he
that.
He wasn't the owner then.
Yeah, but he's got to have a pulse of his fans.
Yeah,
got to have a lukewarm sense of what they might want. So if the Panthers don't want him, again, my presumption is it's because he's not ready.
Not healthy.
Or healthy. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference. You're not ready, you could be. You're not healthy, you might not be. Okay. So if that's the case, I've got to put him in a situation where he's not coming in as the guy. Because if he's not healthy or ready for the Panthers, he's not going to be healthy or ready from whatever team I identify.
I see.
So I got two choices for you. All right. Winning situations or possible winning situations that could be derailed by poor quarterback play. You want the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Colts.
Interesting. Yep.
The Colts is number one. And the Raiders is number two. If Brissett regresses, and let's face it, Brissett's fine. He's fine.
You're right.
Doesn't have an ounce of dynamic whatever pumping through his body. He's fine. And Derek Carr, I just don't think he's a Gruden guy. And Gruden at this point going into what, year four now?
Mm-hmm.
Year four, right? Is it three or four?
Yeah.
I think it's four. What year is it? It's four. Going into year four, granted, he's getting $100 million. He signed $100 million, 10 years, $10 million a season. It's not about the money, but John Gruden's got to start winning. Is it three or four?
I think it's three.
I thought it was four. Well, either way.
Yeah.
We'll double check in a sec. I thought it was four. Could be off by a year. He's got to start winning some games. He's got to start getting to the playoffs here.
You think Cam is a John Gruden guy?
I don't know, but I also don't know that Derek Carr is a John Gruden
guy.
No,
I hear you. So the alternative. We're looking at alternatives now.
You know, and if, somebody's in the
bullpen. And you're going to Vegas.
Exactly. Cam, the place will be pretty much sold out anyway.
Yeah.
It's his third year. Going into year three. Not four, pardon me. So those are my two options. I'm not saying there aren't other ones out there, but, you know, because the Redskins have Haskins, the Giants have Daniel Jones.
Yep.
We know about the quarterback class from the year before with Darnold and obviously Baker Mayfield.
Yep, there's certain teams like the Bengals who you know were drafting their guy
in
the draft. The Miami Dolphins likely drafting their guy in the draft.
Nor if I'm Cam would I want to go there.
Yeah, you're right.
And hold the clipboard once the kid's ready or not win.
And that's the other side of it. Like where Cam wants to be is not, probably part of this in a sense as
I
well.
I agree.
Right? He does not want to be on a team that's, I'm the vet who's been an MVP and been in a Super Bowl. Come on, kids, let me teach you how to be winners. Like, he doesn't want that at all.
I got a wild card for you. Now, this is assuming a few things actually happen. Just say Drew Brees retires. Just say. And say they determine, as I would, that Taysom Hill's the quarterback over Teddy Bridgewater, as I think they will. I would do that, and I think they will do that as well.
Okay.
And Teddy Bridgewater says, peace, I'm going to get paid.
Yeah.
Teddy's out. Would you bring in Cam as a backup to Taysom Hill? Similar styles.
Very.
Put the pads down, make you miss
a
little bit.
But he doesn't want to get hit like that anymore. Cam doesn't want to get hit like that anymore. I'd have to think about that one a lot.
I don't know.
Probably not, but I'd have to think about that one. That's an interesting wild card.
Hey, we all have a lot to think about when it comes to this quarterback stuff because it's going to be a pretty frenetic offseason. Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Cam would be happy backing up Taysom Hill.
Yeah, well, but with the design in Cam's mind, I'm better than this guy.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? He's not going to say,
bring him in as a backup.
Exactly.
And then let him win the job.
Yeah, I don't think, or at least fight for it.
I hear you.
I don't think Cam would say, hey, Taysom, let me take you under my wing and show you how to be a quarterback. And listen, as a former MVP, when you're 31, you would still think, just get me in the quarterback room and I'll show everybody that I'm better than this guy.
That's right.
But by the way, I'm not so sure that he is at this point, but that's how champions, even though he's not literally a Super Bowl champion, but that's how great players or former great players think.
That's how they think.
You know that.
That's
you were one of them.
That's right.
So was I, my great stellar NFL career.
With your skinny ankles and no ass at all.
The Irish body. Little belly, good strong broad shoulders, no behind, pencil legs. Ack, what is the Jewish body? How would you describe the Jewish body? I just gave you the Irish body. What is the Jewish body?
I kind of an example, I guess.
You say it. I mean, in this overly sensitive world, you can't say anything. So I can make fun of my people. What's the Jewish body?
I couldn't even. I don't know even where to go with that
you
one.
You got him speechless.
Samter, what is the Jewish body? Somebody, he'll say it. What do you mean you have your speech?
I don't know.
What's the prototype for the athletic stereotype. Jewish body?
The athletic Jewish body?
Yes.
That doesn't exist.
John Green.
Jay Feeler. Right?
He was a good athlete.
He was good.
Jay Feeler.
I would just say short and hairy.
The Schwartz brothers?
Short and hairy.
That's right. Who said short and hairy?
He sampled it.
That's a good one.
The Schwartz, I forgot about them.
Yeah. That's right. The lineman, Jeff and
Mitchell.
Yeah. Mitchell.
Yep.
There you go.
Super Bowl winner.
Yep. Mike Rosenthal.
Act, you can't contribute because I asked you one question, you didn't have an answer. You're Jewish.
No, he's not.
You didn't have an answer.
But he's not athletic.
But
what do you mean he's not athletic?
What do you mean? Come on. He's a good baseball
player when
he was
a kid. Yeah, very good.
Played seventh grade, everybody.
Okay, so what did you look like when you were in high school as a baseball player?
Yeah, there you go. What did you look like?
I was the dirt eater. I loved getting dirty.
So did I.
Playing hard.
So did I.
Hard slide.
Oh, going home with white pants.
Absolutely.
If I was clean,
had no arm.
I rubbed dirt. So I played shortstop. Yeah. Even if there was like a five hopper that was past me,
you're diving.
Diving for show.
The only thing that I had no arm. Played the outfield. I was quick back in the day, but I had no arm.
Here we go. He was quick. Yeah.
But he didn't answer the question. What'd you look
like? He still hasn't answered the question.
I was good.
Okay.
I believe. I could see Ack having a little. You said you had no arm because you could hit.
Oh, yeah. And I could hit and run.
Rod Carew?
Not quite Rod Carew, but I was like a high on base kind
Judaism?
Of guy.
Converted to Judaism?
Actually, never did. Yeah. Never did.
He almost? What he
almost
was,
did.
Yeah.
I think he was married to a Jewish woman.
But he never did.
He actually did not.
He wore the Star of David when he played.
But he did not. He did not.
Is that true?
He did not officially convert.
I actually thought all these years he officially converted to Judaism.
Yeah.
Good catch on that.
Thanks.
Okay. He contributed something. Took six minutes.
He's no Sammy Davis Jr.
Sammy Davis. I don't know where we're going now. Yeah. All right, let's get the update from Mac. Coming up, is it time to say peace out to Todd Gurley? There's an interesting window here that the Rams have to address. We'll get to that coming up in Inbounds. Out of Bounds, here is the former 370 hitter back in the day, Rich Ackerman. All right. A little Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up in a second here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. It is time to ask the pros, though. First up, where we give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Mike, by the way, give me a quick Mickelson check, can you, before we get to inbounds, out of bounds. I don't need it right now, but have it in a couple of minutes.
Santa cares a little less than nothing about that.
But that's okay. I care.
I know. I'm just
and I ask, and hopefully he obliges. And if not, Diesel will do it. He cares even less than Santa on golf. Anyway, Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros and stick around, listen later on. Teague and I will answer the best one for you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day.
Eight under. Two shots off the lead.
Oh, he's oof.
Tied for seventh.
Okay. All right, even though I probably want to delve a little more deeply into that, I won't. I won't be selfish there. Inbounds, out of bounds.
I just gave you your direct answer.
That's all I needed. Good job, Phil.
Shut you up.
Keep pumping out those birds. In and out. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now.
The Rams went from NFC champions to a team scrambling for answers after missing the playoffs this year. Now there's reports, Teague, that say the team wants to meet with Todd Gurley. That's probably not a meeting you want to take there, Todd. Probably not a good meeting to discuss his status as parts of his contract become fully guaranteed after March 20. Uh-oh. So if they cut Gurley now, he'll get around $34 million. That's what he'll pocket. But if they wait until after March 20th, they'll owe an extra $15 million. So, a pretty sizable financial decision to play. They got a lot of holes they got to start filling out on that roster. So, that's important. In or out. The Rams would be better off restructuring Gurley's deal than cutting or trading him outright.
I'm going to say out of bounds here. They need to do everything they can to trade him so that Todd Gurley doesn't feel like he's undervalued, like he's misused. This isn't going to end nice, BT. This isn't going to be a happy divorce by any stretch of the imagination. We know how this all played out. The Los Angeles Rams, after moving to L.A., went all in on signings. Remember, Ndamukong Suh was signed and a few others. Whitworth was signed to win a championship.
Brandon Cooks got paid.
They got close. They fell short. And now it's all coming to roost. Mm. And they paid a running back who has, I don't know, he has issues with his knee. I can't tell you specifically what it is, but let's say it's arthritis.
He's not right.
Right, he's not right.
Not right.
But he's hampering them financially. Mm-hmm. So the only way out of this is to move him out. And if you cut him, it's worse.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to move him out and make him feel good about himself. So I'm going to say out of bounds. You can't restructure this because he's not going to do it.
Okay. You can't cut him because that is financially irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something by the 20th because that's even worse.
There's
nobody going to give him more money.
No.
Trade him. Let me ask you a question. If the Rams are pretty sure he's, I'm not going to use the word shot out of respect to Todd, but compromised and will continue to be compromised moving forward.
That's why it's hard.
Who in the world would want him in a trade?
Nobody.
Nobody, which is why my answer is inbounds, and you have to try to find a way to restructure. And try to, and listen, you might offend them. It's too bad. And if Todd Gurley is not a professional, then you fine Todd Gurley. If he doesn't show up or he doesn't do workouts, whatever those incentives are, they, you know, whatever they can do within the CBA, I don't disagree that it's going to be an ugly divorce. He does not seem happy. He has not seemed happy for about a year and a half or so.
Yeah, because even when he's there, they're not giving him the rock.
Correct. And he's not exactly reticent to display that frustration.
Nope.
His press conference has become they've been a little quirky, very short.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Not a good scene here. But of all the options, to me, it's not a great one, but I would go the restructure route and try my best there.
Are you in or are you out?
Look, KD. Look, K-Dizzle. Kevin Durant's going to miss the entire season. By the way, did you see the video of him running the other day?
Yeah.
Holding the football, doing those gallop sprints across the court?
He looked like me.
What did you think from a running strike? He wasn't burning. He wasn't empty.
And it's not his athletic like skill set to be a runner like that. He looked okay. I always look for like how you slow down.
Yeah.
That's what I worry. Yep. He looked a little tepid.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I would agree.
But okay, but just a little tepid slowing
progressing,
down.
But probably some
he's
people
not
on social
media.
No, I don't disagree. Especially where they are right now. Mm-hmm. They're not going to make a run for a championship. No. They're just not there. So the two-time finals MVP is making headlines still this week. He joined All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson and discussed when he knew he would be leaving Golden State.
When did you know that your time at Golden State was up?
I mean, I knew just about halfway point through the year. I mean, I could feel like, you know, there was a separation between the two. It just felt like everybody was just waiting on me to make a decision on free agency, even, you know, from the coaches to my teammates to the media. Just like
there was a narrative
was like,
throughout the season.
KD, like, what you going to do? It's like January. I'm like, yo, I'm just trying to hoop.
All he wants to do is hoop. I mean, that's all he wants to do is hoop. You got to respect that. So we've seen in recent years, that is a great player. You got to respect that as well. The growing trend of players signing short-term deals so they can reevaluate the situations on a year-to-year basis, or maybe every other year. In or out here, take the new trend of players hitting the open market every few years is a major distraction to teams and the players.
Inbounds, BT. We saw it with Draymond Green just getting pissed off for no reason because he felt like his dude, at least his guy helped him win a couple of championships and get to another one, was leaving. And so, yeah, I mean, you can't help but think about it. There is no, like, future planning. It's win now. I guess in some ways that's a good thing. It's like we can't look forward to the future. We got to figure out how to win right now. But it is a distraction because it comes up. Not necessarily, like, always internally, like in the locker room, but it will come up from media.
Yeah.
And the media,
oh, absolutely.
They have to ask the question. So, yeah, it is a distraction. Inbounds.
Completely agree here, Teague. What's become, I'd say, the last 4, 5, 6 years in the NBA the biggest, most interesting talking point?
Yep.
Free agency.
Yep. Oh, we love it.
And we love it. And this is a big part of the show. So the answer is inbounds, but it does keep the league fresh here. So I don't really want to see it go away.
That's right.
I'm a little selfish.
Yeah. That's not the question, though. The question is it a big definitely is.
Which is what my answer is inbounds. There's no doubt. Now, you know, my team hasn't been affected by it because they haven't. Where I think it would be, like, really problematic, like, well, I guess certain teams have been affected by it by maybe hoping a player comes to join them and then being left at the altar empty-handed. But that's almost inconsequential. What really matters is the team that has the player and is on a championship path but then has the option lurking to opt out. It becomes heavy. It's a constant talking point. I'm sure the player, well, we know the players get tired of it for sure. Inbounds, easy one, but it does make it fun.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, after Tiki Gammons, made everybody have Tiki only. Buster Barber, there we go.
That's
Buster
a good one.
Barber, there you go. After Tiki made every Mets fan happy by this is, I still can't believe you broke this story, by which you did, by breaking the news of a proposed sale to minority owner Stevie Cohen, it appears the deal's falling apart. After rumors surfaced about the failed deal, the commish addressed the issue.
There's kind of two things that are out there. The first is that there is not going to be a transaction. My belief is that's accurate. The second is exactly what happened with respect to the transaction. And I can tell you, and it's based on conversations with the buyer and the seller on an ongoing basis. The assertion that the transaction fell apart because of something the Wilpons did is completely and utterly unfair.
Okay, so the commissioner getting the Wilpons back? Only the Mets. I mean, I know this happens in other situations.
The wording of Rob Manfred.
I hear
he's got to be careful.
Of course he does.
The suspicion that it was on the Wilpons, not, he didn't say it was wrong. He said it was unfair.
Mischaracterization, if you want to stretch words.
Unfair.
All right, so here we go. The Mets and the Wilpons will reportedly look for a new buyer.
An auction.
Yeah, good luck with that. And our friend John Heyman reports baseball's upset with Cohen and that he will have a hard time ever buying any team moving forward. I don't think he ever wanted to buy any other team but the Mets.
Exactly.
In or out, the Mets and Major League Baseball do look worse than Cohen after the deal fell through.
I'm going to say the inbounds of this, right? I think that what Steve Cohen wanted was to buy a team, which, by the way, he was paying a premium for $2.5 or $6 billion. The going rate is probably, I mean, what their valuation is probably like 1.5 or 6.
So paying about a good $600 or $700 million over
exactly.
What you should probably
probably be paying. Probably more than that, BT.
Oh, wow.
And so, and all he wanted, at least according to things I've heard,
was control. Barber.
No, just control. You're spending $2.5 billion, and you're going to let the Wilpons have control for 5 years?
Come on. I won't let them have control for 5 seconds.
I agree.
The way they run
the
team.
Look, I've never been in a transaction even close to this. But
there's a good chance you might not ever be.
But just if I'm buying anything,
yeah.
Here, I'm gonna buy that car. I'm gonna buy your
go buy Shaq's house. Put it up on for sale.
BT, I'm gonna buy your Cadillac from you, right? Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm due for a new one.
And you're gonna tell me, yeah, but I'm gonna determine how many times you drive it a week.
Exactly.
Be like, you can kiss my rear.
Go scratch.
So inbounds.
Yeah, this is simple. Inbounds. The Mets, let me put it this way. Even if the Mets are not in the wrong here, and I don't know where it officially broke down. There mm-hmm. could be a little more, yeah. to be fair to everybody, than we certainly know. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to rip Stevie Cohen because he was viewed as the messiah by Mets fans. They're going to rip the owners that have been there for decades.
That's exactly right.
That count every nickel like it's going out of style and fling them around like they're manhole covers. Yeah. The answer is inbounds. It's absolutely inbounds. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm paying that. I'm going to let you make decisions for 5 years that can impact me for 15? No, I don't think so.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.